episode of Demericana.
We have Benzie here today.
And Wilkes. Today we'll be talking about something that plays a large role in our daily life, and it's probably how most of us stay updated on current events, and most importantly, what our friends ate for breakfast.
We have to know that.
Of course. And so, yep, social media.
I'm pretty sure you guys could have guessed it. Now, social media is a part of all of our lives. I feel that even people who say they don't use it are somehow even inadvertently affected by it. It eventually trickles down to them at some point, and it's not going away anytime soon. So how is it that this is affecting our lives today? I mean, it's really hard to kind of put like a number of how many ways that this is affecting, but we're trying to explore a few of them today on our episode and pretty much just nail down some things that Wilkes and I have both had opinions on. Maybe some unpopular opinions on.
Yeah. It's just that when you think about it, there's so many different social media platforms. You know, it started off with, can you say MySpace?
Yeah, I would say probably something like MySpace, or even chat rooms were really big.
Yeah, AIM. Mm-hmm. Can't forget about AIM. And I liked those. You know, I guess that was a more tame version of instant message, which was okay. But then MySpace, and the argument that came with MySpace was, I'm not on your top 8. Oh my gosh.
And a lot of friendships were ruined.
You know, people took that to heart. Mm-hmm. Then Facebook happened, and it was pretty great for a long time.
Yeah, and I remember Facebook started off first just being for, like, college students. Yeah. And I remember it was a big thing when they're like, okay, now high school students, they're mm-hmm. lowering the age. And now there's not even a limit.
Now it's like your grandparent has it.
And so does your little brother.
Yeah, and it's like a dump of everyone's daily. Like, it's just this. I don't have Facebook. But when I went in to kind of delete it, and it was like such a rush of information of people that I don't even know really, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like I don't need to know all their daily things or just like their whole life and mm-hmm. pictures from like 10 years ago, and it would tell it, like, I signed on and I remember when I was deleting my profile and it was just like, so and so is gonna miss you, and I'm like, I don't even know them. So it doesn't matter to me much.
Well, my question in regards to that, the rise in social media over the past 10 to 12 years, is did social media, or, you know, we say social media and it sounds like such an old person term because now it's just such a huge part of our life, but did those sites like MySpace, Facebook, and nowadays every other platform that we use, did they fill a need that we always had to inform the world, or did it create a need to always inform everyone of what we were doing?
I think both. I think they all started with pure intention. You know, Facebook, I think, I got it when I went to college. And so it was a form of staying in touch with, like, high school friends that I, you know, that went out of state. And I stayed in touch with, like, my cousins who were out of state and are, like, you know, lived in another country. And so it was kind of like, okay, I can stay in touch with people that I might not have stayed in touch with anyway, but I can kind of follow everyone and all my friends' college experiences right on Facebook. But then now it's kind of become this thing where it's like, you know, people kind of bait almost, like, oh, today is such a bad day. And it's like, you kind of, people have now used it as a way to, like, garner attention, right? Like, what's wrong? What happened? And it's like so much of a need. I think it's filled the void of having, or it's maybe created a sense of needing so much validation or so much attention from other people.
Yeah, and I guess, like, I always wonder, like, did was this always innate in us and we didn't have, like, any sort of way to express it? And maybe we were operating in some, you know, some other method, and you and I were younger mm-hmm. and we just hadn't hit that place in our life. But then for specifically just our age group, being in our mid to late 20s, when all of this came about, it was like a rite of passage. It's like, now you have your friends that you're connecting with. No longer did you have to, you know, call your friend and speak to their parent and be like, can I speak to Sally?
Right.
You know, now you can just check up with her on MySpace, and mm-hmm. parents didn't have to know anything.
That's true.
Yeah. And so now it became this thing of like, okay, so was that something we always wanted to do, or did we just get a taste and now we're like, oh my gosh, this is a huge part of my life, to the point where nowadays people can't be without it.
You can't. It's like almost, I know some friends who have, like, given it up for Lent. Like, that's what they do. I'm going to give up social media. As mm-hmm. to, like, that's how, you know, not saying addicted, but kind of,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, and I'm guilty of it. I've gotten the, I didn't know when the tsunami happened.
Mm-hmm.
I found out on Twitter,
yeah.
You know, I found out major events on Twitter and what's trending, because one of the first things I do, you know, obviously your cell phone is like your alarm, right?
Yeah.
Or everyone has that. So it's like, okay, you turn off your alarm, but okay, well, let me hop on Twitter. And it even, like, welcomes you, like, see what you missed. And it's like...
While you were sleeping.
Yeah. So I'm just like, well, okay, I want to see.
Yeah.
And then you get off of Twitter and you go on Instagram.
But you see, even the line of see what you missed, it's playing on all of our irrational fear of FOMO.
Yeah.
Which is fear of missing out. And it's just, that's now why I say that you have to have these things. Because, okay, for instance... One of the big things, kind of a side note, one of the big things I always kind of joke around about is in the past 5 years, I've probably been to like 33 weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily I haven't been a bridesmaid in all of them.
Oh my gosh.
You know, but I was a guest.
That'd be the new record.
Yeah, and it was just crazy. And it was awesome, you know, to go and, you know, you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm celebrating the love of these people and that's awesome. But there's a lot of money involved. And one
mm-hmm.
way that people would cut costs for a wedding or for any sort of baby shower birthday is to do Facebook invites. And
oh, okay.
Suddenly there are parties that are being created and someone's having a celebration. And if you don't have a Facebook, you're not going to get invited.
Here, me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, and people like argue, like I sent it to your Facebook and I'm like, now I know you're lying because
yeah.
I don't have one.
Exactly.
And so.
And now you're inconvenient
now
to
I'm,
them.
Right. Or like some, like I have a group chat with some friends and they'll send me a Facebook link and it's like, oh, you have to sign on. And, you know, and it's almost just like, well, the going back to FOMO, it's like, well, should I just activate my account just to see? And so I'm not, and then I'm just like, no, because I don't know. Personally, if I don't talk to you on a regular, then I don't feel like I need to stalk your life on Facebook, right? Like, Facebook took it to where it's like, you almost get too much information about people that you maybe don't talk to as much.
Yeah, and so you keep up, like I found out people, you know, who graduated with me from high school that are arrested and
mm-hmm.
the other person has passed away, unfortunately. Things that you probably would have never found out had it not been for Facebook. And I'm sure that, you know, I'm positive that there are good things about social media, specifically, we're saying Facebook, but just anything in general, about just keeping in touch with people that you otherwise would not have, because I find it hard to believe that somebody would have found a way to get a hold of me for my high school reunion. Had it not been for Facebook.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
What happened with me. I don't have Facebook, but
mm-hmm.
my friends from high school, my best friends from high school, they do. And so they're the ones who kind of RSVP'd for me,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, sent me screen grabs of, like, how I would contact the organizer to, like, pay for my ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of like I had to use them to be, like, my middleman because I didn't have a Facebook. But I would have missed,
mm-hmm.
you know, a reunion.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, well, in that case, it's good, right? There's some things that are good about social media, and I think maybe it's not the platform. Maybe it's the users, right? Like, we're not going to now say Facebook sucks, because I think it's a great platform. So is Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat,
mm-hmm.
right? They're all good, but then it's like, well, who are you following that maybe has turned you off to the social media platform?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the profiles you're following and who you keep in touch with through that. Maybe it's like what makes you kind of like, ugh, I don't need to know that you went to Chipotle 4 times this week or
mm-hmm.
something, you know?
Yeah, and for me, like, when Twitter came out, I actually got Twitter because I was doing grassroots marketing at a magazine that I was interning at, and they're like, do you have a Twitter? Because we need you to just tweet about this article to our followers. And I was like, what? No? But of course, I'm not going to be like, no, show me. I was like, yes, I'll get right on that. And I did it, and I was like, okay, let me just carry on with this, you know, my Twitter, and
mm-hmm.
I saved my name, which is my specific name. It's my actual birth name, and it... They're unique, so no one had, and I was really happy with it, but I didn't know who to follow, so I followed some singers that I liked,
mm-hmm.
some artists and so forth, but then I was just, like, inundated with, like, either, like, day-to-day, like, their minutiae that I had no interest in,
yeah.
or, like, they would go on these crazy rants, and I was just like, oh my god, this is a waste of my day.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that old email account that you have in middle school that
your
it's,
Your Hotmail
like,
account?
Yeah!
That's the one that, like, every junk... thing. It's like, can we have your email? I'm just like, sure. I'll just
send it there and it has, you know, 13,000
like the junkyard of all your your coupon.
And I feel like for me, my Twitter became that. And I don't even use it. And it sounds crazy to say
that. It's true. You're never on Twitter.
I don't use my Twitter because it became that junkyard of people that I just started following. And then either I lost interest in who they were mm-hmm. or they changed their method of posting. I don't know, like maybe they were just, their focus has changed and it went from just me actually getting to know this artist on a kind of personal level mm-hmm. to it just being like another way of them, you know, having me consume something of theirs.
Do you think like the same thing with it? I'll kind of parlay this into Instagram. Like, you know, with artists on Twitter, or like let's use Kanye, mm-hmm. right? Perfect example today, because today he just went on a crazy rant on Twitter. And so it's kind of like you like him as an artist, right? But then it's like Twitter, you kind of see their inner workings in like 140 characters and you realize, my God, you're such a great and talented artist, but you're such a terrible person.
Oh my goodness.
Because you can hurt so much in like a little sentence, you know, like how much your words hurt. And it's just like, you almost feel like I don't want to follow you, right? And then they delete it kind of like hoping to swipe it. But we all know the internet never forgets. Like everything is everywhere and everyone screenshots. So there's always going to be this Twitter rant everywhere. It's become a meme. It's become viral, right?
Yeah. And speaking of viral, like now there is this trend of, you know, experiencing moments through your camera because you never know what's going to be the next thing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the internet never forgets. What's going to be the next thing that is going to make it big? And I remember I was sitting with my cousins. Actually, it happened last night. I was sitting with some of my family and one of my cousins brought up this video of like, an eagle or a hawk or some sort of bird mm-hmm. snatching a baby out of the car seat. And then, you know, you look it up on Snopes and it's not real. And he was like, no, it has to be. And I'm just like, who makes these things and posts them as real? This child getting snatched up by a bird.
That's
and
crazy.
They Photoshop it and they make it look into this real thing because they just want views and they want it to go viral. And it wasn't like a joke. It wasn't promotion for a movie. It was two people who came together and filmed this.
Clickbait.
Yeah.
Right? Like clickbait. They'll put like, we're getting a divorce, and it's like, you know, then it's say, like, some people that now have turned to YouTube. We forgot to mention YouTube as a media. Yeah. That is probably the next television, right? It's like
if
everything
anything,
is moving.
It's the only television for some people.
Yeah, and so people have gone, and you realize that every single time, you know, they get paid for getting their videos viewed. So now you understand, well, of course they're going to do clickbait, because that little sentence is going to make you say, oh, wait, I like this. You know, this couple, I hope they're not getting a divorce. Let me check. And then it ends up being like a show they're watching mm-hmm. is getting, like the actors are getting a divorce in it. And it's
just
like,
we're divorcing our insurance company.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's kind of just like, really, like, I think the most thing is to be honest about what you're posting. I think those are the ones that I like to filter. Like on YouTube, I like someone, I follow him religiously, Casey Neistat. And he is so open and honest about his YouTube channel. And for a long time, he didn't put ads in front of his videos. And when he was going to start doing that, because he started hitting like a million views per video, he put it as the way as like, this is my job because I make a video every day. And like, I have a kid that's going to college. And you almost felt like, of course, put the video. I almost don't want to skip the video, like the commercial before his video, because I like respect him for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see on like the suggested videos that it's like all these like that you could tell they're clickbait titles that you're just like, nah, come on.
Yeah, and it's a little frustrating because you have to filter through.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you mentioned YouTube, but my experience has been Instagram. And again, going back to my experience with Twitter, when I started my Instagram years ago, I started following people and, you know, you get suggestions and you look things up or like an article 10 people to follow
mm-hmm.
and you follow these people and, you know, you start realizing that they at the beginning they were great, they were who they were genuine. You're following the person and next thing you know they're posting other things like sponsorships, which I get it, you've got to get paid. I'm not even going to be upset because eventually it can happen to anyone, everybody, and I respect it, but I just feel when it becomes the bulk of what you're posting, now you've just become a walking advertisement,
right?
You know, and it's no longer, now you're doing a disservice because what happens is that these people that you're that are following you, they're taking time out of their day to see what you're doing. And they're probably also lining your pockets.
Mm-hmm.
now you're losing their trust.
Right.
You know, and you always hear a lot of bloggers say, like, I'm only going to give very honest reviews, or even blogging instructions or tutorials that tell you, you have to give extremely honest reviews. You can't just say, yeah, this is a great product, because you're going to lose trust.
Right.
And you're going to lose followers. And a lot of, I feel that a lot of social media moguls have kind of fallen into that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I've seen, you know, people, Instagram, like, let's say this detergent. And then, you know, they have a couple weeks go by and a whole bunch of photos go by, and now they're sponsoring a direct competitor of the detergent they swear by this. So it's kind of just like, you just said you use this one and now you're going to swear by an organic one. Like, come on, you just changed your whole... And now it's just like, well, which one do you really support? Or you're supporting both because they're both paying you. So it's kind of just like, you know, it's kind of like, I already watched television. And even that, Netflix has ruined television for me, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm like, I want to be able to see a show without commercials completely. And I want to be able to see all of the episodes at the in the same, you know, seating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you feel like you go through Instagram and everything's a commercial. Everything is the tea, the diet tea, and another one, like the whole, you know, the hair pills. Everything is an ad, you know?
And it's probably posted by a girl who does not use the product and who is thin because she really takes care of herself, or it's just, she's naturally thin, or a girl with incredible hair because it's in her genes, and she's promoting a product that she doesn't use, and she's selling a lie. And, you know, to go off of that, I heard a quote that really stuck with me, and it was, you know, don't compare your behind the scenes with someone else's highlight reel. And our social media accounts are our highlight reels. You know, I'm not going to show you a picture of when I get out of bed looking crazy, my allergies are killing me.
So you don't wake up like this?
Yeah, I wake up like this every day. No, but it's like, okay, my dog. Like my dog threw up last night because he got nervous with the storm. I'm not going to be like, look at my dog vomiting everywhere. You don't do that. I put the best pictures of my little Jax because I don't, he's my highlight, my highlight reel. And so what happens is people start believing that people's lives are as good as they are.
Perfect. Like, I read an article about that, of how, like, people have fallen into the category of believing what they see on Instagram and, like, how it's, like, a filtered life. And how most of these pictures of, like, you know, like, I'm going to say Insta-famous models, they're usually alone, right? Like, they really lead, like, such sad and empty lives, and, like, the majority of their money is spent trying to, you know, curate these perfect photos, but then you don't see what's around it, right? And how it could be just a quick snapshot of, like, whatever, but they're really sad and empty, you know? I don't know.
And I just see, like, there are certain people or accounts that they'll be like, oh, look at us during this person's birthday or during my kid's something or other. And all of their energy went into creating this environment of, like, how can I say, not even an environment, creating like a scenery, you know, the perfect garland here and the pillows thrown and this person laughing over there, and they're having probably a miserable time.
Right.
Because everybody who's at the party is like, can you just get off the camera, please, so we can just have some fun and enjoy some time with my kid, you know? And so you're painting this picture that you're having a wonderful family get together. And what really happens is that everything's fake. Everything's, you know, you can't even eat normally because you know you're going to be on a camera somewhere.
And listen, there's classes that teach you how to take a perfect vignette on Instagram, like, legitimate. I read a blog post about someone who went to one of them, and then she started all her Instagram photos started looking the same way, and I'm like, oh gosh, unfollow.
It's always like, you know, early morning
Light.
You
really needed to take a class to take a picture of your life, like, just.
And let me be real, like, I don't necessarily, we all appreciate clean, minimalistic, not necessarily minimalistic, but, like, we appreciate clean, well-framed, awesome photography, and I'm not going to knock someone who has an eye for things that I personally don't have an eye for. You know, I can appreciate their art, I just can't replicate it. But I think that the line has to be drawn when you're not being honest about the rest of your life. And I feel like people can see that from a mile away. Maybe at first you might have some people or all people fooled, but eventually when they wise up, it's going to be a rude awakening for them. It's going to be a rude awakening for the person who's running that social media account when they start losing followers. And it's just so stressful, like, having to keep up a persona.
It is very stressful. Mm-hmm. Like, the one in particular that, I don't know, I'm probably going to ruin her name right now, Asena O'Neill.
Oh, yeah.
and how she was like this popular, or like, I guess she was like an overnight sensation of like, you know, typical pretty, blonde, skinny, and on Instagram, and she started posting pictures of her on beaches in her bathing suit and very nice and pretty. And she came out saying, like, she wanted to quit Instagram and kind of aired out what it was that she was doing, that she was getting paid so-and-so for each of the photos she was taking, that she was so stressed, that that's why she was so skinny, because she was like, you know, people would like almost body shame her if it looked like she had a little bit of a pouch or whatever.
To the point where she started taking pictures of herself in certain outfits that had been sent to her from companies. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I literally only wore this dress for the photo shoot because I can't wear this anywhere. So she did it in kind of an innovative way, in the sense that she reposted pictures, some of her more popular pictures, mm-hmm. and she recaptioned them. And she was like, my little sister took 400 pictures of me. Wow. And I had to angle my stomach in such a way because I had a big breakfast. And I kept yelling at her until I got the perfect picture. Or, I haven't worn this dress ever because it's too low cut and yeah. I wouldn't go out in public like this. And she was just exposing the reality.
And you know what? Believe it or not, she got terrible backlash for mm-hmm. doing that. You know, people kind of like, and that's the thing about social media, right? Like, it can influence, like, never mind regular media, like the news and how I kind of people, there's like a public opinion. Mm-hmm. But like social media has added a new like facet to social opinion, and how this girl who, right, I agree with what she did. She kind of brought out the truth and said like, hey, like guys, don't believe everything you see. I had to take 401 photo, and like maybe the 401 is the one that actually posted. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is not real life. And people still found a way to kind of, oh, you're ungrateful, you were getting paid, oh, and now, like, I guess she set up like a new blog and started kind of saying that she needed money because she gave up all her, like, she was signed to a model agency, mm-hmm. she was signed to a whole bunch of sponsorships, and she gave that all up. So people were just like, well, now you get what you deserve and stuff. And it's just like, oh, it's my like, goodness.
Damned if you do, damned yeah. if you don't. There's no winning, you know. It's like, once the social media, like, monster that we're all a part of.
Yeah.
We're talking about this, but we all are very aware of how, both of us are very aware mm-hmm. of how involved we are in it as well. But once it gets a hold of you, like, there's going to be, something's going to happen. Like, yeah. you're going to draw the attention of someone who is going to either, you know, root for you or root against you, and it could really impact your life. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine families being destroyed by something that was posted, you know, and certain current events being affected. Things that 20 years ago would not have had any sort of influence from just, you know, popular opinion. Nowadays, it's like,
you put a hashtag in front of it and it's become the newest, like, the newest, you know, trend. Power or movement, right?
Like, yeah, and it's, I mean, even now being, you know, an election year, I feel like people are not blind to the fact that this matters. And so being the cool president, mm-hmm. Obama has to, not that he has to, but I'm sure that there's probably a motivation of playing into the fact that people like that he's the quote unquote cool president, mm-hmm. you know, with the cool videos and the things that he says.
Yeah.
And he plays
and kind of being in time, right? Like, he likes our rappers that we like. Mm-hmm. Like, the other day I saw a video on Instagram where he's like saying, oh, Kendrick is better than J. Cole, and you're just like, I agree with that, okay.
Right. You're like, okay, I can get down with that. Or like, even, you know, even in our interactions, like, my Wilkes is married to my cousin, and all of us are very close, and, you know, we'll always like tag one another in a funny yeah. video or picture, and it becomes like this, in, you know, this inside joke that just grows and grows. And can you imagine if I wouldn't have been a part of that? That's again going back to FOMO,
right?
Like, so it's almost like, it's almost inconvenient to not be a part of it.
It is.
If you don't have it, then forget it. You're going to be out of the loop.
Yeah.
You're no longer funny.
Right.
You're like out of the time.
It's not only an inconvenience to you, it's inconvenient to us who now have to explain to you what you're missing out on.
Yeah, now I have to Snapchat this and then send it to her.
Now
later.
I have to sit here and explain. If you just had Snapchat or Instagram, mm-hmm. you would understand this. Yeah. Like, you know, the Major Key and DJ Khaled. Like, now that has become. And it's funny that social media influences, like, sometimes we'll talk about things that we'll, like, go off of a meme, and mm-hmm. it'll be, like, the new way of doing an insider, as opposed to back in the day, like, what, 10 years ago, was, like, you use, like, quotes from a show, Or like movie quotes. Me and my sister, we love to do that. Like say a movie quote and be like, oh, where's that from? Mm-hmm. And you have to say the movie. But here it's like,
I specifically do that with Friends all the time. Like yeah. The show Friends is what I mean.
You're the only person I know that knows so many quotes.
Because I literally watched it when it was on syndication on Nick at Night. And then when we got it on Netflix, I just sat there and watched it.
And like, binged? Every
I just binged. It was 10 episodes of amazing, amazing, amazing quality show. To me, it feels like there's no show that can match it yet. I don't want to hear about How I Met Your Mother.
No, I will not
watch the show on principle alone. But anyway, moving on.
And we digress.
Yeah, no. We digress. But going back to social media in general, you said something that you were saying, like, it really influences popular opinion.
Mm-hmm.
One thing actually that I thought was interesting, and it's not necessarily social media, but just media in general. In January was the 30th anniversary of the Challenger explosion, which was tragic. I think that had everyone's attention because it was civilians going up in space, mm-hmm. and it was everybody's eyes were on this.
My mom knows where she was. Like, those are one of the events that you know where you were when that happened.
Yeah, it's like one of those like landmarks in time mm-hmm. for America, and then it exploded before the nation's eyes, which was tragic, you know. And so an old coworker of mine, he used to go to, well, he went to, graduated from a flight school. And he said that one of his professors was explaining to the class that there was a culture that was developed in NASA where they felt, you know, the media pressure made them develop this culture where they started ignoring warnings from like a rocket engineer that worked there. And not to say that it was, you know, specifically one person's fault or that it could absolutely have been, you know, prevented, but it was definitely one of those things where you just see how media has an impact on making people make decisions. And just the fact that we have a voice is fantastic, mm-hmm. but the fact that there are also people who have the same voice and are probably pressuring us in one direction or probably are not even educated mm-hmm. also have a say and impacting big decisions is a little scary.
It is very scary. It's very scary because there's a new age of celebrities, and I think that people or these celebrities kind of push maybe their own thing, and you don't know now what's their motivation for pushing certain things, right? Maybe they're getting paid and you don't know, and they're pushing these new, like the waist trainer things.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's like everywhere on Instagram, and it's kind of just like, coming from the medical field, like that is not healthy. You know, it's not the right thing to do. It's like it gives you a wrong idea of what your body should look like, right? Like mm-hmm. the report, like there's a report where like Barbie's proportions are, there can't happen, right?
Like, she were actually, if
she'd
a human,
topple over.
Yeah, if a human was in that proportion, she would topple over. She'd be paralyzed.
Yeah, so it's kind of just like, now it's just like, now hips are too little, and like, wait, like, no, just, so these things that like have driven, and you kind of deviate from what you kind of, I'm sure people still feel like, wait, this isn't normal, but now they see that all these celebrities are doing it, and like, oh, this person who has 2 million followers on Instagram, she uses it. So maybe I'm going to use it. And so that's how it kind of molds. It's like paradigm shifts, I feel like.
It molds culture.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are, you know, before, and it's not to be like, you know, the grumpy old women who are like, back in my day.
Oh, gosh.
But it's, we're becoming them. I mean, let's be real. But I just feel like even myself, I graduated from a local university here and I have an English degree. And one of the most disheartening things that one of my professors said my senior year was, isn't it sad that you guys are paying to be able to write creatively and someone only has to become Instagram famous and they can write a book?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's heartbreaking. And I was in college and Instagram was already out. And I was just like, man, like, it's absolutely true.
It's
people
true.
Are becoming famous on, not that their, you know, not that their work is worthless, because there are a lot of people out there who are Instagram famous, and it's good because their content is good. Yeah, their content is good. Somebody who's a wonderful singer,
mm-hmm.
you know, or somebody who was discovered on YouTube, like a Justin Bieber, who has changed,
right.
you know,
yeah.
the music, the face of music. But at the end of the day, you stop and think, we're making people famous for something that's not them.
Right.
It takes very little talent sometimes to promote something, and I'm not trying to knock anyone who does it, and I think that it's a part of any person who's an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you don't eat, you don't work, you don't eat, but there just has to be a line drawn somewhere.
Yeah. But then it's like, then again, it's like, and it kind of, you wanted to go back to how the platform was intended to be used, right? Like, I'm sure Instagram didn't say, well, I'm going to make this to be full of ads, right? Like, mm-hmm. They wanted it to be little snaps of, you know, your daily life or something you find very pretty that you want to share with the world that'll make other people laugh, right? Or smile or something and feel like, okay, or connect you to another part of the world that maybe you won't travel to, mm-hmm. but you follow, like, National Geographic, which is probably one of my favorite accounts, and it's like these beautiful pictures, and I follow all the animal ones because love all the little kitty and puppy accounts. I think maybe it's up to us to curate your timeline,
yeah,
and kind of filter out yourself who you want to follow and kind of to keep the sanctity of what the platform was intended to be used.
There was a book that was released recently, and it was, I don't remember the name of it, but it was just like, it talked about like the power of tidying up, and it was speaking about like your corporal space, like the place that you live in, your room, your house, whatever. But I feel like we can do the same with our social media, and mm-hmm. don't be afraid to block someone, to unfriend someone who mm-hmm. you don't speak to. They give you one happy birthday a year and ignore you every other day.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to clean your Instagram out of things that make you feel negative about yourself, mm-hmm. that make you feel like if you're not measuring up. Don't be afraid to evolve, because we all change and our tastes change. And
yeah.
In that same vein, some of the people that we really admired have also changed, and maybe our ideals don't match up. And I just feel like rather than getting a negative mindset about social media, we know it can do so many great and amazing things. Let's focus on that and do our part to make sure that we are only consuming those things that really make us feel positive about social media. So what are our dumb moments for today? I think the biggest one for me is don't believe the hype. You know, it's not real. Not everything you see is real.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, the big duh is like, well, if you don't like what you're seeing on your timeline, then unfollow.
Yeah.
And curate your own, you know, find people that have maybe similar interests, like, use the actual platform. Like, you can go through hashtags and find people through there and kind of make your own little personalized timeline.
Yeah. And if any of our listeners are, you know, people who are not necessarily Instagram famous but have, you know, made the decision to promote or, you know, sell ad space, you know, more power to you. The only suggestion as a consumer myself mm-hmm. would be make it content that we can believe in.
Right.
And make it so that we can still trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to keep you, not you, but you in general, that's, I think, what keeps you in good graces with those people who are, you know, your followers and supporting right. you. And ultimately, companies do see that. And I feel that, you know, you talked about the detergent thing. Another company is not going to come in and ask the same of her. And, you know, if you're an honest, genuine person, I just feel like it comes back to you tenfold. So.
Oh, for sure. I believe that, too.
Well, thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in for episode number 2. We'll be back next week with our third episode. If you guys have any questions or if you guys have any topics that you want to discuss with us, as always, just hit us up on our social media.
On our Twitter and our Instagram at Demericana. And our email is at demericanapodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. We are so excited that you guys are tuning in, and we really look forward to hearing your interaction. This is made by you and for you. Love you guys.
Bye.